Fred Film Radio from the 76th Venice International Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio. I'm Yoko Ono. Here is John Lennon. No, wait. That's wrong. I'm Matt Micucci, and this is Chiara Nicoletti. And
very intellectual this afternoon.
Looking very intellectual.
Yeah,
that's right.
That you wear glasses.
Yeah, I know. I should have worn glasses, too. I feel very... I'm also distracted by the sun that has come in the room, right? The actual sun. You know, global warming is a real problem. Anyways, where are we? Where are we right now?
On the third day of the festival, it feels like the 10th.
Yeah, it's the third.
It's totally the third,
the
Matt.
Perfect,
yes.
Number.
The perfect number.
My
well,
God. And where are we, though? We're in Venice.
We're in Venice in our little lovely booth.
And what are we doing
Palazzo.
In Venice?
What are we doing? Trying to cover and do interviews for as many films as possible.
But where? What is happening? Why are so many films here?
What is happening? It's the 76th Venice International Film Festival.
That's why we're here.
That's why we're here.
I knew I was here for a reason. Well, guys, this is really exciting. This is really exciting. Because first of all, earlier when I was doing interviews, they gave me a little microphone here. Now I'm actually holding something. I feel very empowered. So
yes.
Let's begin. There's a lot to get through. We're doing a lot of interviews. And we're watching a lot of movies. And hopefully we'll be able to give you a rundown of all of these great films that are taking place. I think one of the most talked about films at this year's edition is by one of the world cinema's masters who is still with us, but he's not actually with us right now because
he couldn't come.
He's not here. Maybe you know, some cinephiles might have understood that we're talking about Roman Polanski. And he's got a new film here. It's called...
Jacques Hughes. Officer and the Spy. As also an Italian title that it's the translation of The Officer and the Spy.
Right. What is it?
L'Ufficiale e la Spia.
All right. Well, why is Jacques Hughes translated as that?
Well, I have no idea, actually, but I think they translated in Italian because it has two Italian co-producers, Paolo Del Brocco from Rai Cinema and Luca Barbareschi, who was actually the first to speak in the press conference today.
Right.
He thanked God that he could work with such a genius like Roman Polanski, and he said that he wanted to start the debate on the film by leaving aside all the things that have been said and talked about in the previous days. So let's leave all that mess behind us and only talk about the genius of Roman Polanski and the Dreyfus case, which is the main topic of the film.
Right. Luca Barbareschi is the producer.
Exactly,
for those who don't know Luca Barbareschi, he was in... Deodato's...
He has also a small part, sorry.
He also has a small part. And for those who don't know it, but are into cult horror films, he was in Cannibal Holocaust by Deodato.
True.
Right.
True. And then he turned into the, you know, the producer work and theater manager. So
story of most of a lot of
and politician
actors'
as
life,
well.
Right? But so that was one film. Is there anything else that you'd like to mention about that film?
Well, actually, it's... apparently it's like he talks about the Dreyfus case, which in French is like, you know, one of the most known facts about French history. I mean, it was 1895, and it was a famous story about this military. It was a captain, and then he was undergraded to simple officer because he was accused of having betrayed his party to spy on them and give the German information, secret information.
Snitch.
And then after 10 years of imprisonment in this Devil Island, it was discovered that maybe it wasn't really his fault.
Yeah.
So this topic is really a dear topic for Roman Polanski, you know. Let's say that it's a big metaphor to talk about anti-Semitism, first of all, because this officer was Jew, I was a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
And then about the justice system and the sense of justice in general. So
also sounds to me like Polanski is talking about his own life through this film.
Exactly.
Which is something that he's become very good at doing over the course of many years. And Devil's Island, that's what it's
Devil's
called,
Island,
right?
Devil's Island, yeah.
I think I'm going on holidays there soon.
Yeah,
no, probably not. It doesn't sound like a very nice place to go on holidays. But, right.
It must be hot, anyway.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's very hot here, too.
Sure.
I'm moving on. We got to move on.
Go.
We got to look to the horizons. And we're going to look at one of the films in the horizons section of the... How good am I?
Perfect on. Connection. Perfect.
Come on. This is all improvised. So
they should teach it at schools. They should teach it.
Let's just talk. It's not quite a short. It's not quite a feature length. It's a middle, halfway. You know, it's about 30 minutes long. But it's a movie directed by Guillermo Arriaga, who a lot of people might know as the screenwriter for many of the greatest filmmakers of South America, but also, you know, in the U.S. and all over the place, especially known for his collaborations with Iñárritu. Alejandro González Iñárritu. I've got someone
talking
saying
about
geniuses. Talking about geniuses. He's another friend of the Venice Film Festival and a friend of ours.
Yes,
and so now we got to meet Arriaga. Yeah, he's not a friend of ours.
Yes, of course. And okay. How was this meeting?
Well, okay, so the meeting was good. You know, it's a very interesting film. It's called No One Left Behind. And it's the story of a group of U.S. militaries crossing the border from the U.S. to Mexico to pay tribute to a soldier who was from Mexico but enlisted in the U.S. Army. And it's part of a rule that they have. No one is left behind in the sense that, you know, because he was part of that group of U.S. militaries, they go back for him and they try to take the body back to the U.S. and give him a proper burial in the military style. But, of course, the family
makes
is opposed
sense.
To it, and tensions arise in the first part of the film. But actually what it becomes afterwards is a pretty solemn sort of portrayal of just a good funeral, I thought. You know, a very nice funeral when the people from the U.S. and Mexico are coming together. And so, as you can probably tell, it's a timely movie to come out right now because there's a lot of tension in that border. A lot of people are talking about the situation between the U.S. and Mexico and the president that
they
have.
And that famous wall that shouldn't be built.
I don't even know what's I don't even know what's going to happen there. I don't like walls anyways. But, so... It's a really solemn reflection. It's very quiet. It's a plea for multiculturality at a time when people just don't seem to want to embrace cultures, you know, from other places. I think it's a very universal story. But we want to embrace cultures here at FRED. I think we're very cultural.
Yeah, we're super international and multicultural.
We can't be more cultured than that. We've got how many languages are currently in
25?
25.
Yes, I think so.
Including.
Yeah. But we only speak 2 and 3. And well, but we're trying.
Right.
Aren't you learning some other languages while traveling around? You don't have an actual place. You always
no, I don't really want to because I would hate to know what people say about me behind my back.
That's exactly the reason why I would like to know more languages, actually.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know...
What do you think people are saying about you?
Well,
here at the festival.
Seriously, to connect with people more and to really understand the place, a country, people. Because the language can be a barrier. Like, English will always help. But to really... When you're learning a language, you're learning... The way the language explains things.
Right.
So you learn the habits and you learn the sayings and that's why I would like to know more languages.
I believe
than the three
that
I speak.
Sense of humor is the best way to connect with people. That's what I like. I like places where sense of humor is very dry sometimes that you need like days to figure out whether someone was telling you a joke or not. So, I think that's a really good, interesting point.
Yesterday, for example, Pedro Almodovar tried to explain to me a joke in Spanish that was really connected to Spain, but really connected to the region and the little country, the Pueblo, where he was born.
Yes.
So it was actually very funny to hear him trying to explain to me the comparison and the similarity.
Okay. Wait, did Almodovar tell you a joke?
No, he told me, it wasn't actually a joke, it was more like a saying.
Okay.
That was something that, because he wanted to name his first film or with this saying, But he couldn't because nobody outside of that region and that little country could understand that. Okay. So not even the Spanish people, because he was something like...
That's so interesting. So he, obviously, you interviewed him yesterday.
Yeah, in Spanish with David Martos, so he was, I was like a tourist.
Well, he's a legend. He is a legend. That's why he's getting a Lifetime Achievement Award at this festival.
Finally, actually.
Finally,
because,
you know.
Because in, I think he deserved more in Cannes.
For example,
with Dolor y Gloria, which was, I think, it's his masterpiece.
Right.
And only Antonio Banderas won something, so I think that he still has some awards left to get.
I would be scared when people give me Lifetime Achievement Awards.
Yeah, but sometimes they do it because you have to be awarded
somehow.
Could be seen as a starting point for a new...
Thank you, Venice.
Thank you.
Thank you, Venice, for giving awards to wonderful people. And, okay, so let's move on with films which we've seen over the course of these past few days. We're in the now at the moment. So we're going to be talking about, I got one, The Mayor of Rione Sanità.
Which I feel, it's a film that I feel particularly attached to because it's based on a famous play by Eduardo De Filippo, the Napolitan Shakespeare.
Explain to the folks at home.
Eduardo De Filippo is the master of Neapolitan and also Italian theater. His comedies and operas are timeless. Yes. And that's why it was actually almost impossible, but I don't want to say impossible, but very difficult to adapt a play of his not only into a film, but... postpone it to modern days. It's set in 1960 in a very ancient and problematic neighborhood, which is Rione Sanità.
Right.
And there's a boss, apparently a person who acts like a boss. That's why he's called the mayor. And
he's not really a mayor,
and
by official
means. He acts like a mayor in a sense that he tries to put justice into the matters of people living around him. So all the people that have money problems or some fights with other people, they go to him to sort things out.
Okay.
And that's really a bad explanation but it's a metaphor about justice, again, because he follows his own justice. And in a way, it's very difficult to tell, to divide the black from the white.
Do you think that an international audience will appreciate the movie?
I don't know. I was talking about that with a very important Italian journalist, who's Napolitan. And we were actually, we have some doubts that the international audience, also some other Italians, could really understand the complexity of all the shades of this opera in general. Because Napoli has always been portrayed in a certain way, especially in this very moment. And I don't want to blame Gomorrah and all these TV series, which are good and that I liked, and all the other things that talk about, Camorra, Mafia, But in a way, they have the audience is getting used to see a certain way of portraying Naples. So they want to see more blood, they want to see guns, they want to see Shakespearean speeches, and in this play there are more universal themes than that shootings and blood.
Right.
There's also that, but it's different from what we're used to watch.
That sounds interesting. Sounds very interesting.
Who's
the director?
The director is Mario Martone.
Martone
was here last year with the Caffery.
An old friend of another old friend.
Napolitan also. And he was surrounded by great Napolitan actors.
Yeah.
Because when you're doing something like that, when you're talking about your Napolitan Shakespeare on screen, you have to work with the best Napolitans you can find.
The Napolitan Shakespeare. While you were telling me that story, I really felt like rocking the chair, like just listening to it and just relaxing. But I can't because I think I'm making noise. So I can't. But yeah, we have rocking chairs again this year. And that's great. Let me see. So I felt like a child, you know, rocking the chair. You know what else makes me feel like a child?
Hey, what else could I talk to you about to let you...
Balloons. Balloons make me feel like a child. Right? Okay. And there's a movie in the Horizonte section called Balloons.
Wow, really?
What is this? I think it's actually a singular balloon. But anyways, I interviewed the director, Pema Sedan. And the director of this film, he was very interesting. He's from Tibet, so he tells the story of Tibet. But it's a story that's set in Tibet, but really it talks about the contrast between the spiritual theories that they have there, which, you know, of the Buddhist culture and all of that, all of the tradition, a very spiritual culture. But also, how does that contrast with the more modern things, more modern concepts of life, in particular, contraception? So it's a contrast between the spirit and the body. And it becomes this really fascinating kind of oral sort of movie where you're sometimes in a dreamlike state, but you're snapped back into the real world and you go from thinking about the spirit and the body. It's a story about a family, but it could be the story about lots of different families with reincarnations of people. Wow. You know, it's just there's so much in it. But at the heart of it is this contrast between the old Buddhist ways and the spirituality that people love and sometimes have also abused, especially in the Western world, but we won't get to that.
It almost sounds like the Pichapong Veraseta Kool feel.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's that kind of, I think it's that kind of vibe. It's that, but I think it's that kind of way of seeing things too. So that was my first question to him, actually. Yeah. After I asked him, you know, the usual one, you know, could you tell us a little something about the movie?
So that I don't leave anyone out. We have two guys, you know.
Right, well, we do it for you.
So that you can understand what we're talking about. Otherwise, it's a private conversation.
The second one was like, please tell me more about that, you know, about the theory. And he was very, you know, he was happy to oblige. Problem, the interview was in Italian with Mandarin translation. But hey, listen. We'll figure something out. Google will come up with an app at some point that will do something. That will sort that problem out. We'll see.
Or if you speak Mandarin.
Well, Google, if you are coming up with that app, give us a sponsor. You know, we're looking for sponsors. We'd be happy to collaborate, you know. And that was the movie. That was fantastic film. You know what? I think we're fast running out of time. We're fast running out of time. We've got stuff to do. But maybe you want to talk about another film? This one is really interesting. I think we've got to keep it short, but...
I'll keep it short. It's out of competition. It's Seabrook, because it's a film by Benedict Andrews, and it's about Jean Seabrook, the Nouvelle Vague diva. She was from the U.S., but she became suddenly, thanks to... After she started with Otto Preminger, and then she was one of Godard muses when she was really young, so she did a lot of films with him, and she became so famous and so loved in French, and she was very very well known and loved also in the US. And this film portrays a particular moment in her life where she was always trying to help people, and she did a lot of donations to civil rights movement, plus she tried to finance also the Black Panthers. And this film analyzes that very moment in which she also started like this relationship. She had a husband, actually. She was cheating on him with this activist, not Black Panther activist, but an activist for Afro-Americans' rights, played by Anthony Mackie. I forgot to mention that Jean Seberg is played by Kristen Stewart, who shares with her the same, you know, link with French cinema. That's because true. Of Olivier Assayas and with the States. they both started very young, so they have this in common. And by telling this story in a very thriller way, actually in that very moment of her life, she was put, because of this connection with Black Panthers and all these civil rights movements, she was put under control by the FBI. And the FBI was actually after incriminated for that because they pushed it too much, and she knew she was being controlled and heard and followed, so she really got crazy. She attempted suicide, so it was a really sad story. And the film actually gives tribute to her courage and to a part of her life that nobody knows, because we all think about her with this image of a fragile creature that couldn't really stand and survive to her nerves and crisis. But the film shows you that there's more to that. And actually, when you're searching the Wikipedia thing and searching for Jean Seberg's life, it's written that she committed suicide. But actually, the film shows you that she was found dead in her car after 10 days of disappearing, and the circumstances of her death are not that sure. I mean, so you don't know. You know, she was very brave, and we didn't know that. So that's a way through Kristen Stewart, and see a way to know a different side of this diva.
There you go. Wow. Well, does Kristen Stewart do a good job?
Yes, I don't love her very much, but I think that she really got this fire in Jean Seberg's eyes, so they're very similar in a way. So in this sense, yes.
Interesting. Well, as a big fan of Jean Seberg, I would love to see what she does or how she does. Big fan. Breathless. She was really she was one of the iconic film stars of the time, with her short, unforgettable short blonde hair. Yeah,
exactly.
She was the image of my the birth of my interest in the French New Wave, I think.
And that's what Kristen Stewart said today. She said the truth of this film, we should start thinking about their, not only for that shorter cut, blonde shorter cut and their image, but also for her bravery, her energy, blah, blah.
Wow, that's some statement. All right, okay, so we're going to have to wrap it up. I wanted to say something, but I forgot. So what's on your agenda? What's on your agenda?
Obviously, one of my favorite director. And what?
I wish I had a pipe right now. So I could just smoke a pipe, and you've got your glasses. You look like an intellectual, but I want to look like an older intellectual, you know?
Just saying that
with a beard.
In less than 2 hours, I'm finally going to watch the new film by Pablo Larraín, who was one of our Fred the Worst recipients.
Holy.
Our beloved Pablo Larraín. So you could direct, I don't know, 3 bottles running, and we will love it anyway, so what could I...
Now, the 3 bottles running could be interesting.
The 3 bottles running by Pablo Larraín, so really, I can't wait to watch his new film.
That's so funny to me. Just picturing 3 bottles running.
Three Dolomia, which is our sponsor. Dolomia bottles running.
Oh, yeah, by the way, this is our water. Oh, man, we're going to get complimented.
So Pablo Larraín, and tomorrow, there's Joker. By with Joaquin Phoenix by Todd Phillips. So today is going to be a big day for us.
Some people would say Joaquin Phoenix.
I said the same thing
to Nicolò yesterday.
I don't know. I'm going to ask him.
He's Joaquin to me.
Joaquin.
So thank you very much, guys, for listening. Really, it was a pleasure. I hope you're enjoying all the content that we're creating. We're having a good time. We're having a wonderful, rich time. And what do you think?
I think yes, yeah. We're always tired,
but
we always.
What do you guys think?
Still have
we've got people working behind the scenes, and I take this opportunity.
They look happy. They look happy.
I take this opportunity to thank everybody involved in the production of our programs for Fred Film Radio. I also would like to say a few words about Florida. They're being hit by a hurricane in a few days, so I'd like to say we're with you. God bless. Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you, Chiara. Thanks
Grazie.
A lot.
Ciao.
Thanks a lot. And join us tomorrow when we'll go back to over some more stuff from the program of the 76th Venice International Film Festival. I'm Matt Micucci. This is Chiara Nicoletti. And this is Fred Film Radio,
the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio,
24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.